I wanted to thank a couple of people. This past Wednesday night, we did Be the Church, and it was outstanding. Probably about, I would say, 30 people showed up. 250 kisses went out, you know, those kisses, and Jamie stuck them all one by one, glue dot them, and so 250 people know that they've been kissed by Jesus because of you, right?
Amen.
Kissed by God, that's a good thing, right? And by the way, I see Howard, our point man, ready. Do y'all need bulletins today, notes? You want to take notes? Anybody? Raise your hand high, get one. There's one over here. Bethania's a blessing, right, everybody? Who else? Anybody going to join Bethania? Good, we got that, Dave. Thank you, David. Anybody else? Good, good, 100%. Yes, everybody. Hey, want to thank Alex and Lisa Copeland. I don't see them, but amen, they're a blessing. They put on this great couples ministry thing last night. There he is. There's a man of God coming in. And he wore pink. Amen. Isn't that a good thing? So make sure that you thank Alex and Lisa. They're the marriage ministry that we're doing, couples ministry, is exceptional. Last night was very evident of that. They'll do a monthly gathering that you really need to be part of. I think they want you to bring somebody. So, you know, even if you're dating, it's always good to have that. Amen. May married people teach what it looks like to be a couple. Give me a good amen, right?
Amen.
So welcome to Living Faith Church. Let's welcome our first time guest in the house. Come on. Yeah. We're Living Faith, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen. Welcome the Facebook Live audience. Come on, give them a big hand. They've joined us. Amen. What a great deal. You can watch Living Faith in your pajamas, right, everybody?
Amen.
I mean, amen. They're in church, amen. So we welcome them. We thank God, amen. They're part of our church today. So thank God. Welcome to the Love Affair. We just want to make sure that you know we're in part two today. We're going to cultivate romance. We're going to cultivate fun, fulfilling each other's spiritual, emotional, and sexual needs. And so how do we find a love that works? And so God made a way of this institution called marriage. Some of you think, I'm in an institution, right? You'll get that later, amen. But it's a sacred institution, and it's called marriage, and thank God for it. You might say, well, I'm going to coast on this one, Pastor, because I'm single again, maybe widowed and that sort of thing, and I'm just going to take a back seat on this. Do you know I've never met anybody that doesn't want a relationship? Everyone that lives on the planet desires to have relationships. No one is meant to live in a cave. Right? Nobody here, right? Nobody cave dwellers here. So thank God you're meant to be out there loving people, letting people love you, walking hand in hand. I want to have an indestructible marriage, just like everybody in this room today that's married. But I want to also point the people that are single in this room or widowed again, that God has provided relationship not only with maybe a significant other, but with people around us today. So this is not only a series about marriage, but it's a series about how you do work, how you can have a successful home life with your children, how to walk into your church and have relationship with people, right, everybody?
Amen.
I want our church to be a happy church. How about you?
Amen.
I know we're going to have problems like every church. No church is perfect, but I want us to walk in unity, that we give each other second chances here, third chances, fourth chances. I want us to go on in love today, amen, that we love more than we hate in this room. Give me a good amen. And so let's have that sort of church and thank God for it today. I want to contrast the thought of the world's way and God's way today. And the world's way on the big screen right there is, and in your handout today, somebody say, find the right person.
Find the right person.
And it's really the hunt, the flesh. You know, we're looking, who can I conquer? The trophy case, there's another one. But it's finding the right person. And it's that one, that Jerry Maguire line, you complete me, you complete me, you complete me, because we find the right person. In the world's way, culture would say, you know, fall in love. Well, I fell in love. You ever notice I fell? And it's almost like a ditch thing. You don't want to wind up in the ditch, right? So again, the world's way. Three is we fix all of our hopes and dreams on them. That means we put something on a person that's never meant to be. That God is only the one capable. His shoulders are big enough. That's why he bared the cross for us. That we put all my dreams, all my happiness, I'm banking on you to fulfill those. And no human being. Come on, guys. Say amen. Amen here.
Amen.
Amen. We'll get some offering money from you later. Amen. Because you're saying amen. I'm setting some of y'all free. You're not meant to carry that responsibility. We're not responsible for everyone's happiness in this room. Do you understand that? Especially your spouse today. So Only God can do that. I found in the media, not only movies, but television especially, 91% of the screen portrayals on just not movie, but television, if sexual intimacy is portrayed, 91% of them aren't married. And so the world is even modeling with us on what we see media-wise, what should be taken in the marriage bed is covenant, what God's described as that. I still believe in the old-fashioned way. Is that okay with everybody?
Amen.
That's why I got married, man. I loved my bride. I loved my girl so much, I wanted to marry her, amen? And we loved each other, amen? We had to get married. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
We did premarital counseling, did the whole bit today. So the reason why I don't want to follow the model of the world is it's not right. It's not God's righteousness. And it won't bring a blessing to destroy my life if I do it the world's way. And so it sets us up for number four. Failure occurs, and then we repeat, rinse, cycle again, and you do it all over again. And so that's why young people and single people in this room, I'm not a big proponent, and you've heard me before at least once a year in our relationships. I don't really support dating. I support biblical courtship, but dating is really something of the world, and it's fairly new, and it's come in. It used to be mom and dad would meet the guy before anybody else would meet him. You're interested in, you know, Johnny Blue Blood, amen, big guy, come meet my mom and dad. Let's see if you're worthy of them. But we don't do it that way anymore. We don't do courtship anymore the biblical way, and that's what it's called for today. So it's common. It's a model of the. So I want to do it the Bible way today. Breaking up at 14, breaking up at 16, breaking up at 18 because he hurt you or she hurt you, you walk away with it, it sets you up for divorce. Because let me tell you why it does. Because you'll say, you know what, I broke up at 12 years old, my first girlfriend, I fell in love, and you know, she did me wrong, she went with another boy in 6th grade, 7th grade, and then 14, you have another heartbreak, 16, you have another heartbreak, and then you finally get married and you find the one that's special, age 22, 27, or whenever it might be, 30, 35, you break up again, and it's called divorce. It conditions your heart to a scab that, you know what, this happened to me all through my life, and I'm never going to have a successful relationship today, amen. I can't change your life today. Only God can. I can be the cruise director, though. We're on a journey, man. I can point you this way. Hey, there's the glaciers, amen. Look at those dolphins, amen. But we're going to look at Scripture. Is that okay? Look at that word, amen, that you can get in your heart, and we can point it towards our homes today. Let's look at God's way today, amen. Number one is this, you become the right person. God, work on me. Do an inside job. Help me, Lord, to be the best husband. Help me to be the best pastor, Lord. Help me to be the best father. Help me to be the best wife. Help me to be the best son or daughter in this room. And you ask God to work on you, and you become the right person instead of looking for the right person. Do you see what God's way is? The second it falls in, walk in love. That means you're going to walk in love. Love is not a feeling. I have to feel it. No, love is a choice. That's why Colossians says to put on love. Somebody say, put on love. You've got to dress yourself in love. You make that choice that love is showing up even when the feeling is not there. I'm going to keep pursuing. I'm going to keep walking in love. It's the choice that I make today because it's not falling. I'm not falling into love. I'm making the choice to be in love today. It's a commitment, right, everybody? Number three, it's just mature Christianity. Number three, amen, fixing my hopes and dreams on not the special somebody, that blue-eyed, blonde hair, whatever it might be, your brunette, amen. You're fixing your, and he continues to transform you, transforms you from the inside out. Number four, failure occurs, repeat, cycle, amen. One and two, you go over again. Just be real up transparent with everybody. Is that okay? Again, it gets ugly sometimes when Nava gets transparent. Man, I dated a bunch of girls before I got married. Quick, call 2020. Tell Dateline, amen. Scandal, amen. But it was during that time in my 20s, man, I date and date. And then man, I was like the date king, man, of my church almost. And like, here comes the date king, man. Look at, you know, had platform shoes like that. No, I'm joking. So finally, my heart was broken over and over. I wasn't working out. You know, I don't know why these girls didn't like me. Can y'all figure? Go figure. Face like this. Now, so I took like a year. I mean, maybe 5 days. No, I took a year. And I sought God. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of going through this thing, of the cycle, of repeat, of the world's way. And I was doing it my way. And I said, I humbly went before God. And all of a sudden, during that season, Irma walked into the room, my Sunday school classroom. I go, who is that? Amen. So I got the gift back. Give me a good amen. But I had to go to the Lord first, and I had to say, you know what, Lord, I failed. I want to become the right person. I want to walk in love, Lord. I want you to transform me from the inside out. And it worked. Amen. She's a keeper. I think I'll keep her. How about, will you keep me? She went like this to me. No. Yeah, she's going to pray about it today. Amen. Just like in our home, in your relationships, there's going to be rough days. And things will happen. Rough days at your job because you have relationship with people at your job. Again, this will work. These principles will work at your job. My family, we've had rough days. My church, we've had rough days. My marriage. It's kind of like this funny story of this empty nester guy. He's a husband, and he's being treated like a child. And so all of his kids are gone, but the wife, he's telling everybody at the barber shop, all the guys, he said, man, my wife treats me just like a kid. All my kids are gone now, but I got, he said, you know, we go to the grocery store, and, you know, they're pushing the cart, and says the wife, you know, he wants to reach towards the ice cream. And she slaps his hand. We don't need that this week. And so goes on around the corner. Says, you know, he reaches towards the cereal. He wants to get his favorite cereal. He slaps his hand again. We don't need that this week. And so finally, you know, he's potato chips, man. He loves potato chips. He reaches towards a bag of chips and slaps his hand again. We don't need that this week. And so, you know, he finally gets frustrated. He says, you know, he hops out of the shopping cart and goes and waits in the car. Yeah. Doesn't need that. Amen. Forget that mess, right, everybody? Might hit somebody in that car, shopping cart. I want you to stay committed to your love affair. Pursue some actions with me that God would love you and you would love people today. Most relationships fail because of lack of commitment. Our culture's prone to say that fail-proof thing called that contract that we want to fill out. So how do God's relationships look in a contract world? A contract world says, you know what, I got these stack of papers. Got to put the X here, sign here, sign here, sign here, and then we'll sign. When we built the church, we had a bunch of contracts to sign because vendors were coming in and we're having to sign. And Link, first service was here, he said, you sign them, you're the pastor. So I got to sign all these things, and we put our name on the line. But if they did us wrong, we had their signature too. If we did them wrong by not paying them, they would have our signature too. So it's a contract, a foolproof thing that we had to get that because we call it a prenup nowadays in marriage. You hear about them days old, we never heard them. When I bought a Groupon the other day on my Groupon thing, you know what? There was a kind of a contract on that. I could only use that Groupon on certain days, right? You get those cheap Groupons like I do. You got to use it. You got to call in. You got to make reservations and all that because they had their contract on me, and I had a contract with them today. Well, may it never transfer to our relationships with people, to our church. May a contract never transfer to our marriages because God's called the sacred union of marriage a covenant. And a covenant, when it's put together, it's not to be ripped apart or broken up or I'm going to take you to court, I'm going to sue you. It's meant to stay together. It's lasting. Do you all understand that today? I brought a scripture out that's not in your notes because I wanted it to make an impression on your heart today. And so in Hebrews 13:4 on the big screen, somebody say, never.
Never,
never will I leave you. Never. Yeah. And that's God speaking to us as a people that he's the covenant-keeping God that would say, I'm never, never going to do this. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to stop pursuing you. Nothing will ever make me stop loving you. God would tell us that. Isn't that amazing, the God that we serve? God's not out to blast you or out to get you. God's out to bless us today. God loves you today. Amen. And so the character of our Heavenly Father comes at us that way of never. May we have that character because I'm looking at Papa God today, my daddy in heaven, and we're behaving like him because we're sons and daughters. I'm behaving just like my daddy. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, people on this earth. Amen, everybody? And so I know this is the toughest message because things are being recalled right now. You don't know what I went through. I'm going to get that in a moment today. It's probably the toughest message, but I want to give you life today, not something tough. So let's look at a life-giving scripture in the Old Testament. Another one today. Just too many notes to put in your handout today, but this one's good. It's probably our theme scripture all sermon long right now, all talk long. You flood the altar with your tears, and you weep and wail because he no longer looks with you on favor from your offspring or accepts the pleasure with your hands. And you ask, why? Why, Lord? Why? Why aren't you answering my prayers? You're asking God, because the Lord is a witness between you and the wife of your youth. Now notice there, the highest commitment on this earth is not, you know, you joining a church. The highest commitment that you'll ever have on this earth is between a husband and wife. When God looks at that commitment in the Bible and on planet earth, it's the highest commitment that anyone will ever have. Did you understand that today? And so that's why he says what he says right here in the Word. He says, you've been unfaithful to her. Well, what do you mean? I never cheated. I never, you know, went out with another girl after I... Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant, here's what happened here. You made this covenant and you checked out. You may have not gotten... See, some of us don't need a divorce. We've already divorced our hearts from our spouses. And you're still married on paper, but there's no love anymore. There's no commitment. It got tough. And when it got tough, because she wouldn't give you what you wanted, you just checked out emotionally. I'm not going to speak to her. And you checked out on him also. He's not meeting my needs. I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do as a wife. I'll get rated R in a moment. Yeah. And you get divorced, and it's saying that's unfaithfulness right now, even without going to court or without getting the $50 divorce or whatever we might get on the internet today. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in your body and spirit. And what does God seek? Godly offspring. He wanted this pattern of marriage to happen so beautifully on this earth that it would paint a picture like your grandparents had. And they would say, that's the way I want to be in love. That's the way I want to do life, because there's this model of your children seeing it in the home that you're raising them, and they're seeing what true love is, how you'll lay down your life. It's not cynicism. It's not mockery. It's not somebody locking the door and screaming, amen. It's love, and it's found. You're not perfect, but you are modeling. More is caught than taught. Do you understand that today? So be on guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth or the husband of your youth. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord is of God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect. Notice that with me. You don't need commitment when everything is rah, 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 and everything, oh, pastor, I love you, best church on the planet. You know when you need commitment? When all hell's breaking loose. You need commitment in a marriage when you've caught somebody doing something they shouldn't have been doing, but you're still committed. You're saying, you know what, we're going to get the help that we need, but we're still going to go through this thing together because I made a covenant with you. And so the commitment happens right there because of just you're walking together on your darkest day. On the darkest day, everybody else ran, but you ran towards them. Do you understand that today? You're still with them. So, man, the amens are getting weaker and weaker. Says the Lord Almighty, be on guard and do not be unfaithful. I want to pause right here and say, you don't know what I'm going through an abusive relationship. I'm getting beat. I'm getting verbally abused. In that matter, I want you to call the police. Or I want you to call me because I'm going to take the biggest guy with me from this church and we're going to go over your house. But the biggest guy is going to be with me. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, and we're going to have a bat. Amen. And we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be taken care of. But we're going to call the police too. I'm messing with you. Maybe I'm not here. In your heart today, you got to be willing to be unhappy just for a little while until you pray through, until God comes through. And I guarantee you, if you have the right heart, because it's answered in Irma's life, it's answered in our life, in our marriage, and we're not perfect by any far means today. But we prayed, we've sought God when each other have been at odds, and God has seen our marriage blessed today. To the point people have said, how did you ever end up with him? Amen. Well, he prays a lot. Give me a good amen. Yeah, maybe if you prayed, you'd get better looking too like me. Irma needs to know that she can express her unhappiness. And I need to know that I can express my unhappiness And then I'm not going to hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no. She needs to have that security. Long ago, because we got this marriage thought and counsel and hope in our lives, that we looked at each other eyeball and eyeball. We had that moment. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how dark it gets, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm here with you. And it's usually towards each other, right? It's not about other external things. It's our marriage, amen? So no matter how hard it gets, we don't check out. You need to make that covenant towards each other. Have that special moment even this week today. One of the advantages of biblical covenant, not worldly contract, is this, that you may hate each other, maybe not despise each other, not like each other in the marriage history that you have. But you know what the covenant brings? That you may fall in love again. Wow, that's good. Amen, Pastor. Come on, choir. Choir saying amen, amen. I found this great saying, and I love reading and learning, and so this was found, so I stole it. Commitment means staying loyal to the one that you said you were going to have long after the mood said left you. In other words, the right mood is no longer there, and you leave it, and that commitment, that covenant, it's no longer there. I've done about a few hundred weddings now, and I know I'm still young, but I've done them in this building, I've done them in that building, I've done them in gardens, I've done them in the only place I haven't ever done one is in a hot air balloon or in Hawaii. And I'm willing to go to Hawaii, amen? Irma and I are willing there to go to Hawaii. And so I've done them in the love is in the eyes. I do from this day forward to have and to hold in sickness and in health, richer for poor, until death do us part. Amen. And the thought might be on that, is there anything else on the table that you will not stay in covenant for? Because I'm wondering, the people that I've married at Living Faith sometimes are through the history of our church. Sometimes they've not met the commitment. They've not kept their commitment. They're still alive, so it wasn't death. Is there anything on your list that you're going to put from richer or from poor? Because you made a covenant before God and man, right? And so we have to look at each other that way, and we purpose to do that today. Anything besides death that would, God did not create marriage to frustrate you, to make you feel inadequate. God made marriage to fulfill your most intimate desires, that you would have that in the bag of chips, amen. The most fulfilling thing that you could ever have of human covenants is God's covenant in marriage today. And it's for a lifetime today. May God bring us together, right, everybody? I had to call my small group, one guy in it, and I meet with a small group every Wednesday morning. It's my pastor's group that I've been meeting with for many years. And what stays in the small group is covenant. And so he told this to me years ago, and he's an elder in my life at that group, an older man. And they've been married almost 50 years, he and his spouse. Beautiful man in the Lord, beautiful woman. They're serving in their great church that they're serving in. So I called him. I said, I thought of you when I was putting this together. Can I use the story? And he said, certainly. I've used it publicly. And so I'm about to tell you I have permission. 12 years ago, almost 50 years of marriage, 12 years ago, he was diagnosed with a form of cancer that when they operated on him, he could no longer fulfill marital duty of sexual intimacy. The doctor told him to. He told me the whole complete story. And get real with you. He said, doctor said to him, he said, you know, there may be a chance still that you can still have pleasure in your bedroom with your married spouse. And he said that they tried and nothing happened. He said this. He was real transparent with me as a man of God, and I so appreciate it. That's why everyone needs to be in a small group at this church. Eyeball to eyeball, he said that they cried. Him and his wife cried in their bedroom because of what wasn't able to take place anymore in their marriage. So for 12 years, it wasn't a deal breaker. What he told me was, he said, we found other ways of being intimate. We found other ways because it's not so much about the bedroom experience and my needs and her needs. It's about our friendship now. It's about companionship now. And we've discovered that of what covenant really means today. I'll be real honest with you because I'm real, just like every red-blooded man in this room. I would think when I first heard that, you know what went through my head? Deal breaker. How? Am I the only man in here that's like that? Thank you, guys. One guy's honest enough. And the rest of y'all are just like looking at me like this. He told me that desires still are within him, but the operation, the cancer that's been healed, has left him that way now. He's 100% man still. He's more of a man than he was 12 years ago because he's a man of God that kept his covenant today. Amen. So lifetime marriage and covenant, it goes beyond the chemistry. It goes, I'm compatible now. I have a companion, amen, the rest of my life today. And you're touched by love in ways that you've never imagined today, amen. We're not going to have disposable relationships at this church, amen. We're going to pursue each other. I want to pause. I saw something on Facebook this week, and it touched my heart. One of our church members is missing, and we pursued him. He's a man. He's one of our bros here. We pursued him. Some of y'all know who he is. You can think of his name. Don't shout his name out loud, but we pursued him. And phone call, try to meet. Well, one guy just fronted him out on Facebook, or Facebook friends, put, "I miss you, bro." And then everybody else started following, "I miss you too." And you know what somebody put? I hope he's watching. Somebody put, that's not a member of this church, "It looks like your church really misses you." Let it be said, a Living Faith Church, that we don't break covenant. Amen. They may no longer be going here, but we still love them. Now, if they go to another church, we're not going to be a cult and go after them and camp out in front of their house. None of that. Amen. But to my knowledge, you ain't going anywhere. You might as well come home. Amen. Come on home. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. There's tension in the room because, oh no, amen. Some of us have, you don't know my situation. I can't do that because of the past or this. I want you to look at one more scripture with me on the big screen today that's not in your notes. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. You can't do it. You're right. You're not going to be able to do relationships successfully on your own. They're going to mess up over and over, but you can do them God's way, right, everybody? And so through Christ, I experience. It's something to be experienced. It's something to not, I can't understand it. I get transformed when I'm in the presence of God today. Today as the worship rose up, amen, I realized again how important the cross was. I know about the cross, but I owe everything to the cross, right, everybody? Amen. I owe it all to the cross, and my heart was warmed. It wasn't a feeling. It was a choice I made. The Bible on the inside of me, right, everybody? On the inside of me. Number one is this. Here we go. I'm going to give you three to experience. Not, you can take notes, but experience these three because this is the way God feels about you. Somebody say this with me. I commit to prioritize you. And that's the voice of God to you in your ears today. God is saying, I'm committed to prioritize you in my life today. Throughout eternity, God would say, I'm going to prioritize you. I heard one more funny story. Can I tell you one more funny story? Yeah, you need it today the way you're looking, amen? Sky, he read this book called The Man of the House. And so during his commute from home, he dials up his wife on the cell phone, and he enlightens her. He says, you know what? When I get home, I want you to meet me on the couch, and we're going to have a family talk, you and I, just you and I. So when he gets there, she's waiting for him, thinking something happened to the job. He said, from now on, I read this book, Man of the House. My word is law. Do you understand? Says, I want you to prepare now for me that gourmet meal that you said you were going to prepare long ago. Go prepare it. Amen. And then I want you to fix me this scrumptious dessert. And after that, I want you to draw me this warm bath. I'm going to sit in the bath, and guess who's going to comb my hair? And guess who's going to put the robe on for me? Guess who's going to do that? And she said, the funeral director? How many know we have to have a priority towards each other, right, everybody? Your earth relationships, they're going to fail. They're going to falter. You're going to work your workplace. You're going to get involved in some sort of drama at work, and it's going to cause something. It's going to felt, but God is going to make you a priority. To the degree, your hobbies get in front of relationships, but God says, no, you're my priority. I'm not going to let anything get in the way of you and I having covenant relationship. God made me a priority. He makes you a priority. Right, everybody? 1 John 3:16, the other 3:16, 1 John. Let's read it together on three. One, two, three, go. This is how we know what love is. And we ought to lay down our lives for our wives, our sons and daughters, our husbands, our wives. Amen. Yeah. And so God put you first. So He did it so I can do it. God did this so I can do this. Right, everybody? And so can you today. Submission is giving way to somebody else. No, you go first. No, it's the elevator. You're holding the door. No, they're going first today. And so before you can be a good husband, before you can be a good wife, you got to be a good Christian. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Sister Sophie. The only one amen in. Amen today. Become self-sacrificial. Become submissive today. The heart of God's love affair today. I'm going to pursue you no matter what. Don't you get tired? Well, you probably don't, but sometimes on the social media stuff, you see people and they're doing this or that in the relationship, and it's fake. It's not real. Ooh, la, la. Wow, they're doing that. And the reality of it, it's not reality. And there was this time that it was Facebook all weekend long, and you were pursuing her, and she was pursuing you, and you lived for the weekend, and you were doing everything you could to capture. You used to flirt with her. She would flirt with you. Now you flirt with a cashier at HEB, and she's not yours. Come back to that place that you pursue each other and you love each other. Amen? Go after her. God speaks of this God that He knocks on the door. He doesn't beat it. He made the door. He doesn't beat it down or pound it. He just knocks. He's waiting. He's pursuing you. He wants you to open the door, but you got to open it because God's making you a priority. I'm here. I'm still here. I'm waiting for you. God's dealing with you during our worship service. Like, I love you. I have a plan for you. And He's knocking just gently because He's a gentleman and He's wanting to pursue you and He's wanting to possess you today. Amen. God is saying this hour, I want to possess you. A sense of belonging where I would tell Irma, you belong to me. And I would tell her, I belong to you, and we belong to each other today. Amen. All through the Old Testament, God's people were told them, you're my possession. You're my special people. In the New Testament, Peter was told that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are God's own possession. And so there's a sense of belonging. I own you. No, I belong to you, my God. And you belong to me, and we belong to each other, we can say to our earthly relationships. Right, everybody? Number two is this here. I commit to protect you. I commit to protect you. In the Army, I saw Gomer Pyle when I was a kid. So what I learned about Gomer Pyle was in the Army, the Marines, was that when Gomer went in there, he had long hair. When Gomer went in there with everybody else, they all had the same haircut. When Gomer went in there with his civilian clothes, everybody got their civilian clothes off, and they got all the same kind of greens. And so the individuality of it all would be this. No one's an individual in the Army or in a team. They become a unit. They become a team, right, everybody? Yeah. And so that's the first thing that goes in the armed forces. You're not going to become, because you're going to become bullet bait, amen? And I don't want to get shot because you're becoming this isolated person or this loner. You need to become part of a team today. And that's why it is the protection of God happens together, not apart today, right, everybody? Yeah. And so I know that that is not true when you would hear something. I made a covenant with our staff, which isn't too big right now. But the staff knows today because I've told them, if somebody comes to me and tells on you, because they tell, how many know children tell on each other? In church, amen? And you know what? I'm going to go and ask you. And if it's true, we're going to deal with it. But I'm still going to protect you. I don't believe that. That can't be true of that person. And that's what it's needed in our marriage. Instead of believing the bad report, we protect each other. When everybody else is running away, you run towards that person and cover them. Because love covers a multitude of sins. We cover each other in this church. That's why the media lies all the time. They put lies on, falsehoods on. And the majority of it might be true, but little things are said out of, and you go, well, maybe, and it gets on to us in our homes and our marriages. Psalms 121, verse 7, out loud. Come on, everybody, one, on three. One, two, three, go. The Lord will protect you from all danger. He will guard your life. And commitment is not needed on that great day of bromance or great day of romance or great day of when everything's rah, rah, rah. Yeah, pastor, you're a great preacher. Yeah, you're a great. You know when commitment's needed? On the baddest day, worst day ever, when all hell is breaking loose. In marriage, commitment is needed when everything is depressed, when everything is falling apart, when we got to pray through for 30 minutes and it's a worst day ever and we're going to seek God together until we get on the other side of this mountain. Give me a good amen. Yeah, give me a good amen. Come on. Yeah, thank you. I finish faster when you say amen. Final one, three. Here we go. Somebody say, this guy's good. He's finishing early. You could say that too, amen. I will commit to purify you. Fill in the blank there, amen. One, fill in the blank, amen. Now be very still. I want to encourage you in this room. You're going to blow it. I want to encourage you. You're going to mess up big time. Every one of us in this room, nobody's sitting next to Jesus, right? Jesus is on the platform, believe it or not, amen. So that's when God would come, when you blow it, then he would say, I'm going to still purify you. I'm going to still wash you. I'm going to still cleanse you. Over and over when you blow it, I'm going to keep pursuing you today. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and after Eve messed up and Adam followed along, taking the leadership of that point, which Adam was there, of course, another sermon, this law came about that was put into our ladies. And it says, your desire shall be for your husband. And I always wondered about that. And it's kind of like this. Here's a good key. You guys remember scripture here. You're going to thank me for this later. All the men in this room. That's why when she puts on that dress or she puts on those slacks or she puts on that blouse that she just bought, how does this look, babe? You need to tell her, it looks fine. You look good. Come on. No, this is what you need to do because her desire will be towards her husband. Baby, you knocked it out of the park. Where'd you get me? Girl, in that dress, you make anything look good. That's what she wants to hear. She wants your approval. She wants your love language not to cease. Right, everybody? You can watch this thing again, amen, on our website if you have to. Play it for them. Give me a good amen. She's completely secure in your love. And then the ceasing of your decisions will be not challenged as much because that's another curse. Why are we doing this? You just keep loving her and you'll be surprised on how much she just, you take care of it. You make good decisions because the way you look at me. Right, everybody? Amen. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be married. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, obedience right now to this final command that God gives us will bring blessings to your home. And if you choose to ignore it, I believe that destruction will come. Amen. It will tear your marriage apart. There's security in a wife knowing that nothing else matters besides you. My feelings, my workplace, you're it. You're it today. And it says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife. Somebody say leadership of love. We submit to each other. The whole chapter is about submitting to one another. In love, we submit to Jesus together. That's a Christian marriage today. There's another teaching for other things that are going on dynamically, but a husband and wife loving each other in the love of God. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it by making her holy today. And just as Jesus gave that example, something that wasn't beautiful, God made beautiful, and that was the church. He didn't say, well, you're beautiful, you're already, no, I have to make you beautiful. So I'm going to wash you. I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to keep pursuing you. So when you mess up, I'm going to still stay in it. Husbands and wives do that together, right, everybody? Amen. Love is demonstrated today. Cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word today. To present her to himself as a radiant church without spot, stain, wrinkle, or any blemish, but holy and blameless. You're going to be the one that benefits today when your wife is loved this way. When your spouse, your husband, is honored this way and you're submitted to each other in the love of the Lord. Man of God in this room is a husband. You're going to be accountable to God. And that's why you say, honey, I got to serve you. I got to take care of you because I'm accountable before God. I made that covenant at an altar many years ago or a year ago today. Amen. and you change from the inside out today. And that's what God loves the most, and beauty comes about it today. Finally, Ephesians 5:32. You haven't had that much fun. Let's read this out loud. Come on, 100%. First service, they did pretty good. If they're listening right now, they want to see you bring it. You going to bring it? Final scripture, 5:32, on three. One, two, three, go. This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church today. Jesus wants us to be one with him. He wanted his church to be one, and he did everything he could, and he gathered them together because he did it by the cross today. The cross, I'll die for you. I'll do whatever it takes. Adam was not complete until Eve came along. Do you understand that today? And so completion comes today. Unity, the essence of oneness happens today. Just like the picture of the church. The mystery is we stay together. Amen. We talk about Christ in the church. Amen. And God fills it in today. Amen. Bow your heads with me and pray. Father, I pray that you would change my heart. You would change the people of living faith, Lord. Only you can change your heart, God. The words can't do it, Lord. Your word can. And we hear our Father say in our ear the whisper, the love that he would have. The greatest romance ever is our Father telling us, I commit to prioritize you today. The Father is saying that to each person. Every lady right now, I commit to protect you. My Heavenly Father's telling you that. He loves you. To every man in this room, I commit to purifying you today. Prioritize, protect, purify. Now, Lord, I bring heaven to earth, and I choose to prioritize, Lord. Do that in my heart for my marriage, God. It's sacred. Help me to protect my bride, Lord. Help me to purify her, Lord. That's real today, that God loves you that much and your spouse loves you that much today, everyone in this room today. As you stand in attitude of prayer, you've been dating God and you're far away from his heart today, and you've realized right now this is your moment. God is pursuing you. He's still knocking. He's not going to force himself on you. And God shows up during the emergencies only in your life, and you're repenting of that. You're even feeling it right now. Lord, I'm sorry I've done that. I've gone away from you. I've only asked you when I needed you and during the emergencies and the darkest times. But I want you this day. I want to have a relationship with you today. At Living Faith, I don't embarrass you. I ask just that your hand is gently raised, and I'll say a prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer, and you'll receive Christ as your Savior. You'll say yes to him today. If that's you in this room and you need a relationship with Christ, I only ask that your hand is raised slightly. I'll note it right now. If that's you on three, one, two, three, would you lift your hand? God bless you. Yes, you can put it down, beloved, once you put it up. Someone else, yes, another hand over here. Just, yes, sir, I see your hand. You can put it down. You're a man of God. You can put it down. Two hands went up, just making sure. The amazing grace of God that would touch people at this very hour and not only give us a second chance, a third chance. That's how much God loves you. Right now, you pray this prayer with me. It's just a formal prayer. You confess Jesus right now. You do that loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. You receive Christ as your Savior. You say this prayer. The sinners that are saved by grace, we're going to join you today. We all prayed this prayer. We ask God to save us. This is your moment right now. We pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new again. Thank you, Lord. I'm saved today. Christ is in my heart. I follow after him today. My life has changed. In Jesus' name. Facebook audience, if you're hearing me, you could have prayed that prayer also. If you did, hit the comment button. Amen. We'll respond to you also this week today if you do that. Or contact us via email today. Let's celebrate lives right now. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.